The question always arises in those cases whether or not we have the leadership ability to serve in those offices. But I think that's the wrong question. I think that the question is, do we have the infrastructure, the foundation from our community?
Welcome to the Ronin Project Podcast, the show about Asian Americans in politics, rocking the boat, breaking the rules, and taking on the big fights. I'm your host, Bill Wong. Buckle up, it's time for Ronin's To Roll program. Hello, Ronin Nation. Welcome back to Season 3 of the Ronin Project Podcast. This week, we're doing something a little bit different. Instead of having an interview, what we're going to do is we're going to be talking about what happened in this most recent California primary election last Tuesday. The way we're going to break down this postmortem of the primary election is the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll start off with the good, which is that all the incumbent AAPI assembly members got reelected in the primary, and they're going to go on to the November election. That includes Stephanie Nguyen in the Sacramento area, Alex Lee in the Santa Clara area, Ash Kara also San Jose, Jasmine Baines in the Central Valley, Mike Fong in the San Gabriel Valley, Almer Suchi in Torrance, and the beach cities of Los Angeles, and our congressional members, Ami Barron in Sacramento area, Doris Matsui in Sacramento area, Ro Khanna in the San Jose, Santa Clara area, Judy Chu in the San Gabriel Valley, Ted Liu in the beach cities of Southern California, and Mark Takano in Riverside County. Obviously, I'm only talking about the Democratic members. I don't particularly care about the Republican members, so you'll have to go to some other podcast for that information. We are losing this year several AAPI Democrats in the state legislature due to term limits. Assemblymember Phil Ting, former budget chair of the state assembly, is termed out, and Evan Lowe is running for Congress, and Senator Dave Mint is running for Congress. All three of those will be gone by the end of this year. However, the good news is that there are a number of AAPI candidates who are running for state assembly who seem well positioned to replace these members. First of all is Jessica Coloza, who's running in the Los Angeles area in Assembly District 52. She's Filipina, and she is headed to the runoff with a Latino candidate in November. We have Christopher Cabaldon, who's former mayor of West Sacramento, a Filipino-American, who won the Democratic primary for Senate District 3, which represents Vallejo, parts of Northern California, Solano County. And he is well positioned to win in November because it's a predominantly Democratic seat. Jessica Coloza, who has a runoff in November, is running against another Democrat. One of the products of California's bizarre jungle primary, and that should be highly competitive. It is predominantly a Latino seat, but Jessica Coloza is a strong campaigner, and she's got a lot of coalition building that can support her, but it will be definitely a very competitive seat that should be watched. You have John Harabedian, who's in Assembly District 41. He's Armenian-American. And Armenian Americans are considered part of the California AAPI Legislative Caucus. Formerly, Adrene Nazarian, who is running for city council, was a member of the AAPI Legislative Caucus. John Harabedian won the primary in mostly the parts of northern Los Angeles County. We also have Jimmy Pham, who is going to go into the runoff against Tree Ta in the Assembly District 70. This is a Orange County seat. This is a Republican seat. Tree Ta is a Republican Assembly member, and Jimmy Pham is an attorney who is a Democrat who is running against Tree Ta. This was a relatively competitive seat in the past. It's very strongly Vietnamese seat, so it'll be an interesting seat to watch depending upon turnout and depending upon how much money is being spent in this district. It's likely that both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party will spend heavily in this race to determine the outcome. We have also Darshana Patel, who made it to the runoff in November. She was running in a San Diego County seat, replacing current Assembly Member Brian Mainshine. This is going to be highly competitive. It's considered a very competitive Republican seat. She'll have definitely a fight, but she is well positioned as an educator. Another interesting race that is going to happen is David Lee, who's running to replace Assembly Member Phil Tang in Assembly District 19.
That is going to be a Dem-on-Dem runoff in November. He's running against Catherine Stephanie, San Francisco Board of Supervisor and a former prosecutor. But the San Francisco seat is very strongly Asian with a very strong contingent of Chinese American voters. And it will be very telling because there has been a lot of criticisms about the failure of promoting a pipeline in San Francisco. So if David Lee can consolidate the Asian American vote in San Francisco, they can preserve seat, because if he doesn't, there will be no Asian American representing the city and county of San Francisco in the state legislature after several years where they had two state legislators, both Phil Ting and David Chu, for a time. Another interesting race is in the South Bay, where current Assemblymember Mark Berman will be facing Lydia Ko, who is also a Democrat, for a Dem-on-Dem runoff. However, Assemblymember Berman probably has the advantage as an incumbent in that seat. Another runoff that is Dem-on-Dem runoff with an Asian American candidate is John Yee, who's running in Los Angeles versus Mark Gonzalez for an open assembly seat that was vacated by Miguel Santiago, who is running for city council. And in the Alameda County, Oakland area, you have currently Jennifer Tran, who is running for Congress against Latifah Simon. She's a little bit of a dark horse candidate, not having much of elected experience, but she has been a community organizer and heavily involved in the community. She's making it off into the runoff, taking on Latifah Simon for the former Barbara Lee seat that Barbara Lee left in order to run for U.S. Senate. Obviously, all of these results are to be determined because there are a significant number of votes left to be counted in this election, as there was a late surge of poll voters and local registrars are allowed to count votes that were mailed on election day Tuesday. So it will be several weeks before we know for sure exactly the outcome of all of these races. In fact, I think it's April 14th is when the Secretary of State has to certify all of the results from the county registers of voters. Victory for the Asian American community is how well Dr. Richard Pan did in the Sacramento mayoral race. Dr. Pan was running in a very crowded primary. The other candidates included a former city council member, Steve Hansen, former city council member and current state assembly member, Kevin McCarty, and healthcare advocate, Dr. Flo Kofer. And most of the institutional support went to Kevin McCarty and Steve Hansen, labor predominantly supporting Kevin McCarty and the local business community supporting Steve Hansen. Interestingly enough, I think that Dr. Pan was facing a lot of challenges with regard to what other Asian American candidates face when they run for office is a question of leadership and a question of whether or not they are viable, despite the fact that he served in the state assembly and served in the state Senate and in both cases had very competitive races. But even through my personal experience talking with some of the establishment political decision makers in the city, they were very reticent about his ability to be viable. Interestingly enough, as of the last vote drop on Friday, Dr. Pan holds the current lead, which I think emphasizes the biggest lesson of this primary election. Campaigns are not necessarily a beauty contest, despite the fact that certain candidates check all the right boxes or have the shiniest resume or can tout the most accomplishments. Winning campaigns ultimately is about fundamentals and physics. And I think that in the case of Dr. Pan, he was the only candidate who did not serve on city council. And that helped him because we're in Sacramento at a time where voters are very angry, disenchanted, disappointed by city council. So anyone who has experience or having had served on city council is likely going to be blamed with the current challenges that Sacramento faces. Secondly, Dr. Pan, as the local state assembly member and local state senator, has represented far more portions of the city than any of the other candidates that were running. So he, for several election cycles, been in front of more voters than either McCarty or Hansen. And those are the physics of the campaign, is that when you have people that are familiar voting for you, they're going to continue voting for you because they don't remember what you're running for in the first place. So Pan had that advantage. He also had advantage of the mechanics of this election cycle, which ended up being a lot older and a lot more Asian. If you track Political Data Incorporated, they sent out a tracker of turnout. And what was interesting this cycle was that many more older voters voted this cycle than younger voters, and Asian American voters outperformed all other ethnic groups. So in the case of Sacramento, if that holds to Sacramento's turnout modeling, that ultimately benefits Dr. Pan. He was probably the oldest candidate age-wise in the race, and he had the Asian American community vote all to himself, which is why he won significant portions of the city where there are large Asian populations. And I think that that's what's really been driving his ability to be at the top of the ballot, even despite having been outspent by the other candidates, despite not having the same number of endorsements as the other candidates. He was just a beneficiary of residual support from his previous campaigns, and his profile as a doctor, as an Asian American, and as someone who was not seen as a young candidate. So I think that that really benefited him. And interestingly enough, there was a last minute surge of young voters. And I think that that's why Dr. Cofer is currently in the number two position, because she was the beneficiary of those young voters who wanted a change election because she was not an elected official. So anybody who wasn't going to vote for Dr. Pan was going to vote for the candidate who had not served in office. And that does not include Steve Hansen or Kevin McCarthy. So that's probably why she got a last minute boost and is now in second place. Again, all of those results could change in the next couple of weeks as the remaining votes came in, because toward the end, the votes tended to be a little bit more Republican and tended to be a little bit younger. So that could change the dynamics of the race. But at this point, it seems like Dr. Pan is well positioned to hold his lead and move on to the runoff in November. Now let's go to the bad. A lot of candidates lost races, and it's unfortunate, but that's what happens in campaigns. So we had Angela Farouk, who was running for Senate District 31 in Riverside County. He lost to Sabrina Cervantes. You have Yvonne Yu, who spent several million dollars of her own money to run for a state Senate district in Southern California, in San Gabriel Valley, Pasadena, San Marino area. And she lost to a Latino candidate, and YK Chalamtra, who is running in the Folsom area of Northern California. He lost his primary election. So we had a number of candidates that didn't make it. They're good candidates, and losing races is just a fact of running for office. They're all good people. Unfortunately, they didn't quite make it. We have a number of to be determined races. Right now, we have Tara Srikrishnan, who is a legislative staffer running in the Assembly District 26 as replacement of Evan Lowe, who left to run for Congress. She faces Patrick Ahrens, who is the leader in the race currently, and he was endorsed by Evan Lowe. Tara is now fighting with the Republican candidate for the second place spot to advance on to November. She is ahead by, I think, several hundred votes. It's a very slim margin, and there are still a lot of votes to be counted. So it's possible that she may not make it to November, but right now she is well positioned, and it is an Asian American seat demographically. She would be the first Hindu American woman elected to office, if that is the case. However, I believe that Darshana Patel is also Hindu, and she is the one who's running in the San Diego district. So it'll be interesting to see two Hindu women be elected to office. They would be history makers in this election cycle if that were the case. Evan Lowe, currently running for Congress, is in a tight race for second place in the congressional seat that was vacated by Anna Eshoo, who retired. Right now, the leader in that race is Sam Liccardo, former mayor of San Jose. And the number two position right now goes to Joe Simidian, who served in the state Senate and as a county supervisor and has a long history of being elected in that district. and Evan Lowe trails closely behind them in third place. So depending upon the turnout on election day, it may determine whether or not he can advance to the runoff against Sam Liccardo or not. And another close race where Asian Americans are vying for a chance to move on to November is in the California 45th Congressional District, where both Derek Tran and Kim Nguyen Penaloza are competing to take on Michelle Steele in November. Currently, Derek Tran is leading the votes. He's up by 1,500 votes right now. And Kim Nguyen is close into third place, and Michelle Steele is in first place. So depending upon how the votes drop in Orange County, there are several hundred thousand votes that are out there in the county. Not sure how many are actually in CA 45, but depending upon how those roll, it'll either be Derek Tran or Kim Nguyen Penaloza who will advance to November to take on Michelle Steele. So that pretty much sums up the good and the bad. Let's talk about the ugly. The ugliest thing that probably happened this election cycle is what happened in CA 47 with regard to Dave Minn's race for Congress. He was running against a candidate that was supported by Emily's List and supported by independent expenditure committees. And as a result of it, Dave Minn was the target of a tremendous amount of spending against him, nearly $5 million of independent expenditure spending attacking him. Luckily, he managed to survive those attacks and move on to the runoff in November against Republican Scott Baugh. Now, what was ugly about this was the amount of negative advertisement that was paid by independent expenditure groups, the tenor of the ads. And for the purposes of this podcast, I think the ugliest thing was the inability for the Asian American community to rally behind Dave Minn as he was under attack. Certainly, there were a number of Asian Americans that did rally and support Dave Minn, but not nearly to the extent that is the capacity that our community could provide. And I think that fundamentally calls into question who we are as a community and what we do when somebody that looks like us is under a tremendous amount of political attack, and what is our responsibility when that happens, and what can we do? Now, what did happen was organizations did come and rally behind Dave Minn, particularly organized labor. And they had funded an independent expenditure effort. And for those of you who are not familiar with independent expenditure committees, they are committees, political committees, that can spend an unlimited amount of money in support or in opposition to a candidate as long as they do not coordinate with the candidate. They are protected under free speech, and as long as they are not coordinating, they can spend as much money as they want in support or opposition to a candidate without violating fundraising or campaign expenditure limits. And that is why there are so many of these PACs that have popped up like mushrooms overnight. But in the case of Dave Minn, organized labor like Service Employees International Union and the National Union of Healthcare Workers, both at the last minute came in with significant resources in order to be able to convince voters that Dave Minn was a worthy candidate to represent them in the halls of Congress. And as a result of it, he was able to survive those attacks by two very large independent expenditure committees. I think there's a lot of mixed feelings for me with regard to this, because Asian Americans, one, have a tremendous amount of financial wealth. They could easily spend significant sums of money in order to defend a candidate who actually has been a tremendous advocate for the community. Dave Minn was a leader in the API caucus to ensure equity funding for Asian American organizations after the epidemic of hate crimes against Asian Americans. He also carried legislation in order to improve laws and programs to protect Asian Americans on public transit. He has been a very strong supporter of Asian American staff. His chief of staff is Asian American. He has all the qualities that we say that are important to us when we look at Asian American elected leaders with regard to representation and with regards to policy issues. But we fundamentally failed to support him as he was being attacked by these other groups. And that's something that we're going to have to reckon with and what kind of message that sends to the larger world with regard to what happens when one of us is being attacked, whether it's on the street or in a campaign. I don't have a real great answer to that. And to a lesser extent, I think that this also happened in Dr. Pan's race, where he did not necessarily get as much support from Asian American donors as he could have, running to be a chief executive of one of the larger cities in the state of California. If there's ever a question about whether or not we could ever have an Asian American president or Asian American governor, while we have had a few, the question always arises in those cases whether or not we have the leadership ability to serve in those offices. But I think that's the wrong question. I think that the question is, do we have the infrastructure, the foundation from our community to actually be able to lift somebody up to that level of political representation? And if we're just waiting for them to do it on their own, that'll never happen. And the truth of the matter is that that's not how it happens for any other group or any other population. It isn't about an individual's personal accomplishments. It's about how much infrastructure they have around them. And if Asians can't free themselves of the myth that it's just about the individual and understand that political representation is more about community, we'll never see an Asian American president. We'll never see a significant or sustained ability to elect Asian Americans to the highest offices in the land or in the state. That's just what it kind of comes down to. So those are the things that we should really think about after the primary election. And as we go into the general election in 2024, lots of questions to be answered, lots of races to be determined. But I think ultimately the bottom line for us is it's on us if we want that representation to continue. So with that, I'm going to call it a day for this week's Ronin Project podcast. Think about it, get ready to organize, and get ready to roll program. We'll see you next time.
If you are inspired by the exploits of the amazing Asian American badasses on Ronin Project podcast and want to find out how you can learn more about politics or help Asian American candidates, click on the link in the show notes to join the Ronin Nation's national progressive movement to inspire, organize, and empower Asian Americans. Until next time, Ronins, roll program.